Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. Are we going to talk outdoors today? I mean, probably.
Sure.
It's kind of a little weird bonus episode for the listener, so that's cool.
Yeah. Well, outdoors. Oh, I have some exciting news, and since I haven't told you otherwise, I could just tell you here. I went camping this weekend. That was cool. Saw an elk.
Is that your first time seeing an elk?
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. I was fangirling, dude. It was like 11 something at night.
That explained why you thought it was a deer?
No, I knew it wasn't. I was just fucking with people. I thought it was the funny caption. It was, you know, one of those like attention getters.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a deer. But no, I was super, super excited this first time I've seen an elk in person. In the wild. Like I've seen them in like behind gates and cages and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. Yeah. Did the whole camping thing, let Jasper run around. And one of the guys that came by, apparently his company, like, I didn't catch a whole lot on it. But he offered me 2 Pelican cases because, you know, just wanted to know if I wanted them. And I took them for freebies.
Nice.
So they're hard case, waterproof Pelican cases, and I'll be adding at least one of them to the roof. So it's cool, man. They're like better quality than the Apache cases, but I think the just got to drill some holes, attach them on there, and we're good to go.
Pelican cases aren't cheap, man.
Oh. No, he...
Oh, sorry, listeners.
Yeah, gross. But apparently his... the company he works for uses them for whatever reason, and then they get rid of them, so...
Huh.
That was cool. So, I mean, got 2 of those, and then we did some trails, and holy shit, Gaylord is bad. I mean, we were in Atlanta, but same kind of area.
Yeah.
It was like every 5 minutes we were hitting trees. And we cleared a good amount, but it was like we weren't there to clear trees. We were there to do trails. And so you turned around on a lot of them. Yeah, I mean, you'd look down 50 yards of trail, and it's just trees the whole way down the trail. It's like, no, we're not doing that. We're kind of trying to relax. So
yeah,
that was fun. And I got home. Nothing broke. So that's plus.
I mean, you were mostly on... dirt roads anyway, right?
Dirt, yeah. Well, yeah, I would say so. But it's not necessarily that. It's just the drive there, drive back, nothing broke, and I'm happy.
With it being a Derek event, that's kind of what I expect. It's just like, yeah, dirt roads.
Well, that one, he didn't even go trail riding. He just, this was more kids camp, because he ended up getting there later anyway. So I led the trail. And we just kind of went on every single trail that I could find in the, you know, area, just to explore. And, like, yeah, it just was tons of trees. Of course, the next day, Sunday morning, after we left, I was like, screw it, let's hit a couple trails before we go back. And then I found a good amount of trails that were actually passable. So, of course, I did more driving down trails Sunday than I did Saturday. Really, we did find a random dude in the middle of nowhere walking on the trail.
And, that's spooky.
Yeah, it was kind of spooky. He looked like he was out of breath, and rolled down my window, and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hi. I said, you know, we're just on a trail group, we're cleaning up some of these trails and just having a nice summer ride. He goes, that's nice. I'm kind of back here on the trail, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I see that. You're in the middle of nowhere, bud. He's like, yeah, I wouldn't suppose you have like a tire repair kit or like a compressor, would you? I was like, boy, are you lucky. I said, probably every one of us got one. And then he goes, yeah, I got a hole in my sidewall. And I said, oh, well, you're probably not going to be able to repair that then. I said, I don't have any sidewall repair kits or anything.
You'd have to have a glue tread, which I was supposed to buy before we went to Kentucky and didn't. So that's, well, we're just going to have to be careful.
Yeah, we're going to have to add that to my kit too, just to have, especially after this weekend, the amount of trees and stuff I drove over. I drove over a lot of trees this weekend, but.
You just got to remember, you have to replace your glue tread kit once a year.
Yeah. Yeah, so he started walking the trail, and I'm like, I'm just going to drive around you and find the car and see what we could do. So we got there. It's a old Liberty, Jeep Liberty, and city tires. Out in the middle of this trail was a little rougher because of all the trees that we were driving over. That was honestly the worst part of this weekend, was just we were going over a 3-4 inch trees, full trees at times, and it was just like, ooh, might pop a tire, something might happen. But other than that, pretty clean. And so we got around there, and he's sitting. Sienna gets out, kid's sleeping. She starts checking over the tire, and I'm like, oh, cool, you got a spare in the back. I touch the spare. It's completely empty of air. And then she's like, oh. She goes, yeah, no, it's right in the middle of the sidewall. There's no fixing this. So I'm like, okay. So we get the jack off the back of the truck and get my tools out. Sienna takes the tire off while I jack it up, and we switched out his spare, aired his spare up, and he was good to go. But apparently he had been there for hours. He had called DNR, and apparently they said they weren't working on the weekends, which I think is not true. But and then he called.
It's like, kind of is.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe just not like that in that regard. But and then he called 911 apparently, and they wouldn't even go out there, and nothing.
Right.
So he was just walking down the trail trying to get back. And we were a few miles, man. We were out there. And then even where that lake is that we were camping, there's no, like, residential houses nearby. It's mostly cabins. So he was going to be walking for a while. But we got him fixed up.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people decide to go out that far without any type of plan.
Well, and he, in retrospect, he said that, and I said, yeah, then that wasn't a very good idea. And he goes, well, I was trying to get to County Road so-and-so, and he goes, and Google Maps told me to go down this way. And I said, well, let me tell you, your first lesson when you're doing any kind of off-road trail, I said, is don't use Google Maps. I said, it's going to take you down some crazy shit, and if you don't know what you're doing, this kind of stuff happens. And I didn't say it like that, but it was kind of like, trying to be very nice.
Implied.
Implied about the situation. And, you know, he said, thank you. Do you want me to pay you? I said, no, of course not. And, you know, we went on our way, went down the trail. And then we saw a doe in the middle of the road with a Bambi. Bambi was just laying in the road. Probably not even, had to have been a couple weeks, couple days old, probably. Like, legs were still shaking almost, a little wobbly.
So, like, if you were to go pick it up, one hand or two?
Oh, that's a one-hander. I could have took it.
Yeah, that's a couple days old. Yeah. Couple days old for sure.
Yeah. So, it was sitting in the middle of the road. I stopped, and I was like, dude, look at this. And he sat literally, he got up, sat on the shoulder of the road, and just laid down in the grass. And
yeah, that's what they do.
I pulled up, and I was like, hey, Bambi. And it went, and then it tried to get up and start running. I'm like, dude, I'm faster than you. I could catch you if I wanted.
Did I tell you about the one, I think it was 2 years ago? The whole time I'm doing chores at the farm, I've got this little baby deer following me around.
Oh.
And he's just a screaming, man. Like, he wouldn't leave me alone. Wouldn't go anywhere. Was rubbing up against me. Just would not leave me alone. And so my neighbor, like, braves through the tall grass between our properties, and he's like, yeah, his mom got hit last night. We couldn't find him after she got hit, but we were out looking for a couple hours. So I called a rehab place for him. and, you know, told them the story, and then they couldn't take him for like 4 or 5 hours while they got a box ready for him. So for 5 hours, I just had this little baby deer chilling on my couch with my dogs, eating snacks and stuff.
Man, that would have been such a cool dog. And you could take it out camping you. That would have been so cool.
Oh, my God.
Hey, this is this is Fawn. And then you just like open the back door, this giant deer jumps out. That'd been so cool.
Yeah, he was super sweet, though. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it was cool seeing little Bambi. Saw some cool wildlife. There was a whole like family of loons on the lake, so we got to hear that all night. Heard some barn owls, some coyotes.
Did you get to hear some elk bugles?
No elk bugles. The first night I thought it might have been an elk bugle, not like a male, but maybe a female, because I haven't heard what they sound like. Turned out it was just a loon, and a weird loon call at that. But because I looked up elk, like female elk bugle or elk calls, and it was like horrible. It's like trees scratching together. It was not good. So
we'll have to, I guess it doesn't work the same on cars. So the Pigeon River area, you can ride your horse right between the elk herds. Like, they don't give a damn.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You just stay quiet and just ride your horse through, and as long as you're on the horse, they don't care about you.
That was my first time in that area. It was really cool, dude, that Atlanta Pigeon River area. They have, like, we were out by, like, elk scenic areas, like elk lookouts.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, on the trails, if you're just driving, all of a sudden you come into, like, this field of, like, DNR planted bluegrass or rye or something. Super cool. But once we went down the road a little bit, man, the trails were just everywhere. You know, it's like being up by that Manton Cadillac area where they just trails everywhere. So I'd like to go back there, do some camping, and just take a day or two to do out and go do trails, see what there is.
We used to, on horses, not cars, obviously, but we'd do like 12 to 15 hour rides up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we did probably, we only did about 4 hours. Left at probably 12, got down to like 4 or 5. And just nothing really, I think what turned us off the most was just having to turn around so many damn times. I mean, if it was a work
four
weekend.
Hours. 4 hours in a car is pretty close to 15 hours on horseback and distance traveled, so.
Yeah, I recorded that trail ride. It was 27 miles on that we had traveled totally on Onyx, but, like I said, it was fun. It was absolutely gorgeous out that day, Saturday, so that was really nice. The kids slept the whole time, and we had a ball, so. All in all, really good weekend. Yeah. I didn't do as much trail riding as I wanted to be honest, but it was more about the kid at that point. Truck worked fine. I did those not the clevis points in the front, the shackles, those hard shackles. Those were jangling around like crazy, so I put some electrical tape around them. Just to kind of quiet them down a little bit, because I thought something was breaking on my truck. It was scary. So.
Yeah, man, now you got me thinking about horses. I've actually been thinking about, I haven't ridden in probably 2 years just because I'm fat and lazy now. But I've been really thinking, with as much time as me and Dad haven't been spending together, I want to get him to start riding again and get the horses out and get them ready. And I want to do a true cowboy camp for like a week where we camp in one site, get on, ride all day, set up camp for a night, tear camp down, ride all day.
Ton of fun. The OG overland experience.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Throw my, my light fighter tent on the back of the horse with my, army sleeping bag. So I can look like a real guy.
Yep, yeah. I'll have my Nemo dagger.
It'd be cool if I had I really want to get a bedroll. Do you know how expensive fucking bedrolls are?
Yeah, we talked about this on a previous podcast. We mentioned
we might have.
Yeah, an Australian maker that had been doing it for like ever. And it was
That's a swag. It's similar but slightly different. They're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a bedroll, I found there's one on Marketplace right now for $400.
I mean, isn't it just essentially like a blanket, wax canvas? I mean,
it's basically a canvas bag that holds your bedding and rolls up.
Yeah.
With a small mattress in it sometimes. Like, here's one from Browning. And I'll link this in the show notes for any listeners that think this stuff sounds fun. But this one from Browning's like $290 something. Yeah, well, $300 basically.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's got it's got an inflatable mattress, sleeping bag, everything all included. I don't know. Bedrolls are cool.
They're
cool. I
want
to do some bedroll camping, but I also don't really want to do some bedroll camping
this weekend.
There's something romantic.
This weekend was cold.
There's something romantic about the idea of bedroll camping, but every time I think about actually bedroll camping, I wimp out.
No, I don't blame you. This weekend was cold enough that if I had a bedroll, I would have sat by the fire. It was,
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what I'm saying, though, is I would have been right there.
Yeah.
It was, it got down into the 30s. We did fine. It was just an uncomfortable thing. It was like when your face is out of the tent, like in the, you know, exposed to the air, it's pretty uncomfortable.
But also bedrolls on average are significantly warmer than a tent would be. So there is that, but
well, just the amount of heat, that you keep just being next to the fire, just how much warmer it is. I mean, there was definitely no shortage of firewood this weekend up there.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's just that the canvas from a bedroll retains heat better than, like, say, your Nemo or a standard tent would. So, if you've got some type of thermal pad in the bottom of your bedroll, they're going to be significantly warmer than a tent.
Yeah, I know. It would be nice. Do some pork and beans. Tex-Mex chili or something.
I don't know. But I'm also not going to spend the cost of a bedroll for, like, what I'd probably use one weekend.
Yeah. We'll do that for when we do tractor overlanding in the future.
Yeah. Moverlanding. That would actually be, like, the place to use a bedroll would be Moverlanding.
A trailer probably wouldn't kill you, but it's like, why? I mean, it, kind of the point of mower landing is to do it, have everything on your mower. That would be fun. I would love to do that at some point when I have a good, stable job environment.
Same.
LOL.
Yeah. LOL.
In other news, I quit today, so I'm unemployed for the next week probably until I find something else.
Yeah, and how did I find out? It wasn't from Gavin. Oh, no, it's from his workers. Tell Gavin we already miss him.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell the boss, fuck off. Yeah, he got what he deserved. Plotting asshole.
Did he?
No, he didn't. But,
You
know, at some point, you have to start weighing it. Like, I get come back into service, and all I get is notifications about how he's being a D-bag. It's like, all right, I'm done. I don't need this. So, on to bigger and better. I've been filling out applications all day today. I have had two job offers that I'm holding off on. One's from Alex.
What are okay.
The other's a let me talk to them and see if they can do something kind of offer. And that one might not be too bad. I think Mike Horton and Muskegon is one of those. He's I guess they hire a bunch of people for like CDLs. and they just passed that window, and he's going to see if they can maybe do something. Otherwise, I'm looking around, trying to find something, but I'm oddly happy.
Come pick up dead turkeys.
Man, if you guys paid me enough, I probably would.
They don't. But they'd pay you enough for you to have a job while you look, and it's always easier to find a job when you have a job. Don't ask me why. It's just the
almost,
truth.
Almost, yeah. I think sometimes it's like the energy that I take to look. It's almost like when you get home, it's like you don't have it. Like it. I don't know what the shifts are over there. I know they're bad for you, but I don't know how they are for your hands. But
nah, they work between like 5 and 8 hours a day.
That's
maybe.
It?
Yeah.
It's like a half day.
Yeah, it's like schedule your own schedule kind of thing, so.
Okay. Interesting. We'll have to talk off air and talk about pay and stuff, because maybe that would be something I'd do just to have something. Although I hate working in that condition, I'll put up with it.
I mean, most of what I'd have you do really is yard work. So
yard work? Like picking...
Like mow the lawn.
I like mowing lawns.
Weed
I like
whacking.
Weed whacking.
Spraying weeds with weed killer.
I like doing that. Can I do it from a mower?
So...
Well,
the
mule. Drive-by?
Side-by-side. I sit on the driver's seat of my side-by-side with a sprayer in my hand and spray whatever, all the weeds that he killed.
I mean, I don't know how a hand could not do well at that. That's all, like, fun stuff.
I mean, that's summertime hand work. Usually, it's a lot more involved than that, but... For you, that's all I'd probably have you do, because I know you're not going to stick around, so I won't take the time to teach you the bird stuff.
What a sweetie pie.
Yeah. And if you're able to do that, that gives me lots of time to take care of the birds. So
yeah. Well, I could definitely do that. So, yeah, we'll be in contact.
I'll talk to my boss a little bit.
Yeah, we'll be in contact. If I think I know how to get a hold of you, where to find you.
Maybe. It's almost like we talk once a week or something.
It's kind of sad that we live 5 minutes away and it's still once a week. I mean, it's more than that, but I gotta come around more.
I mean,
more.
We talk on the group chat all the time.
I had to come around more. It was because of work. Now I'm free.
Dude, Facebook's cracking me up because it recommended Sean from Story Till Now as a friend this morning. I think you saw that in the group chat. And then it just recommended, I don't even know who this is, but I know that they work with X-Overland. We have, like, two mutual friends. Like, for whatever reason, Facebook's like, yo, all
connect,
these people.
Please.
And it's like, yeah, but, like, I'm not at their level, and they don't know me.
That's okay. You know what? If I had more moolah saved, I would come and just be a videographer for you at Leatherwood. I was just thinking about that this morning. I'm like, now I could go to Leatherwood, but I was like, I would have to ride with Alex.
I'm doing pretty much the whole trip finance.
Yeah,
like it's terrible.
Yeah, I can't do that,
but
especially without a job. But it kind of puts us into the negative. But if I was thinking about it, definitely thinking about doing like a ride along or something with one of them, one of the free passenger seats, if anybody had any.
I mean, we could always stick Wrangler in Mark's truck, which would free up a spot in my truck.
Hmm. True.
But because right now I got two dogs filling the back of my truck.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking it would be cool to be able to get this stuff on video. And have someone, if I'm not driving, I'm dedicated to that.
Yeah, I know Alan's going to do some videoing. I'll probably end up doing some videoing. At least real stuff. That's You know, we don't do the whole YouTube thing that much, and we probably should.
I think the reason we don't is because we don't have the chance, if that makes sense. Like, we...
I'm not really... To do well on YouTube in this space, you really have to be able to set up shots perfectly and get these big, beautiful, sweeping shots. And along with that, be able to edit very, very well. And then along with that, also have a good narration.
Very true.
I think we have a pretty good narration. I think we're okay at storytelling, but we're really bad. Not really bad. We're bad at long form video.
Yep.
You know, reels, we can make funny, interesting reels all day long. And we do. We make some really fun ones. But I'm willing to admit that the long form YouTube type content is not.
You know what? I think when we get better equipment for that, camera equipment, easier to work with. Like, for instance, like the DJI drones, a lot of people now are using those as most of their long form YouTube capturing equipment on the trail, off the trail, scenic. And something like that would really enhance the quality of what we could produce.
Now, then comes the next thing with editing video, right? When I edit a podcast, let's say we do an hour-long podcast, I might spend 45 minutes to 2 hours editing that, depending on how bad or muddled the audio is, right? And I don't cut out a lot. I call it almost live to air, where I pretty much everything that we capture is what gets posted, right? Now, with video, it's every 10 minutes of video is an hour and a half to 2 hours of editing.
Lots of chopping.
So not only do I not quite have the skill, I do actually. I'm not a bad video editor. I've done it for most of my life, but I don't have the patience to sit here and edit a video when I could be, you know, wrenching on my truck or, you know, at work making money.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just, 'cause you're not getting paid for it, and we're still working full-time jobs on top of this. So it's really hard to justify doing all that work for something for honestly, no money. No, I mean, we're not getting tons of views. We're not cranking out and getting monetization. So, that's kind of really the path to get there, but it's a lot of work to get there while we're already doing full-time jobs.
Right. And honestly, I'm not looking for it. Like, anyone listening, if someone wants to partner with us, that'd be awesome. But I'm not like out searching for partners. Yeah. I think that what we put out is a fun show that's got no ads. If you want to give us a little bit of boost or kickback, go ahead. You know, we've got value for value stuff set up. I need to set up PayPal. I keep talking about it and then not doing it. But if you want to do the value for value thing, we're good with that. But really, I enjoy just sitting and shooting the shit and spending a little bit of time editing it, and that's it. I'm not looking for money out of this.
I would love for it to be a full-time thing, but I'm not overly pushing it either. You know what I mean? Like, man, would this be fun to do full-time? Oh, yeah.
If we had started the podcast, say 2018, 2019, maybe 2017 to 2019, somewhere in there, we could easily be doing this full time by now. But in the space that podcasting is today, it's not possible. You know, you could, if you go Spotify only, Spotify owns the rights to everything and pays you pennies on the dollar. If you go Apple Podcast only, which that's where all the listeners are, is Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you go either one of those, you could have a huge show and make pennies. It doesn't matter. Podcasting is, I'm not going to say it's dead because there's still people listening, but monetized podcasting, it's honestly kind of dead.
Yeah, you got to be big for it to even matter. And even then, it's small checks throughout all the platforms that make up one big one.
On Spotify, you have to have 1,000 downloads per episode before they start paying you.
We're getting close.
Yeah, you know, 30. Lately, it's been like 20, but that's because we're only doing an episode a week.
Right.
When we were doing two episodes a week, I mean, we were getting pretty regular. You're hitting high 30s, mid 40s, somewhere in there.
Which isn't bad for us.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to it. It just, right now we are all so freaking, well, you're not so freaking busy.
Not anymore. I could just bullshit and drop episodes. I don't know. I could talk about the birds and the bees. I could talk about Sasquatch vlogs, my new favorite.
I was going to talk to you about this. Now that you aren't doing anything, and maybe even work this in, I don't know if you've taken the time to look at Outskirts Overland at all.
Not yet, actually. That was after this. I was going to put that on while I was job hunting.
So, again, his audio quality, fucking abysmal. But the content he puts out is fantastic, if his audio isn't cutting in and out the whole time. He's given me an idea, though. I think I want to start doing, it'll be a separate channel from this one, but like a 15 minutes every day, just daily vlog style podcast.
Right.
And something like that for like you, and I'm not saying not necessarily vlog style, but like you just come up with a off-road or overland topic that you can talk about for 15 minutes and just do it every day.
Not a bad idea.
You know, you really enjoy recording, and if you were to do that, putting out that much content, you're going to get bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And as much as you bug me to record when we're not scheduled to, it'd be good for you, man.
Yeah.
I think you'd love it.
I do enjoy this. If I was paid to do this, I would enjoy it that much more. I think it's just,
and
it's when I get home from work, you know, working, you know, you do your 11 hours and then you get home, you're already tired,
right.
You have kids and all that to deal with.
Yep.
If I could come in, you know, start work at 8, work for 5 or so hours to edit and do this and that, record, whatever. Oh, yeah. I'd be all down for that. You know, manage the marketing and the media aspect. And
yep. And if you're doing daily stuff, there's almost no editing. Just take what you recorded and air it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The beauty of it.
That's a very good idea.
If you want to do that, don't forget that I also pay monthly for element.fm. It's $5 a month, and we can have as many shows as we want over there.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that because I don't quite understand that stuff. So we'll have to go over that a little bit.
I'd like to start shifting us over to element.fm, but I'm also not at a point where I'm ready to do that because then subscribers have to change where they get our show from.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, it's hard to, if Element had been out when we actually started, it would have been fine.
Yeah, we're pretty well established now.
Exactly. To change now, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that reminds me. Did you make a, whoa, what is all this? Is that you? Oh,
what?
It just said new audio, this and that detected. It was weird. But anyway, did you guys make a decision on the tires yet, which you're thinking of switching to? Have you made that?
Yeah, we haven't picked wheels yet. We've got a few options that are on the table. But tires, we're going to go with some Gladiator X-Comps.
X-Comps. All right, cool. I didn't know if you guys made that decision.
Yeah, they're just a decent off-road or all-terrain. We've ran, like, my siblings both, well, my youngest sibling just traded her JK in on a Bronco Badlands.
Ooh.
So she doesn't have the X comps anymore, but they both had X comps. They're great. For what they are, they're great. It's like $800 for a set of 4 or 35s.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that I'm very impressed so far with the Wild Peaks performance, just in general, from what I've had. So I'm going to be sticking with those for a while. I might go to the RTs at some point, Kenda's, try those, or the Baja Bosses at some point, but...
Baja Bosses are great, but they're really expensive for what they are.
The you know what? Let's switch topic again real quick. Let's keep it moving.
Oh, I just sent you the wheels.
I like those. I think I'm just gonna buy your old wheels from you.
Yeah, they'll be there.
Pod lighting. Those lights that we set up on the side of the roof rack. Not only were great to help keep visuals on the wolf box while driving on the back and the front, but also when I got into camp, we rotated all those lights out. I mean, amazing area lighting. We just had that. That set up. Now, it attracted the bugs like crazy, but it was away from us. So we set the tent up with that area lighting only, and we got to camp at like 12. So it was perfect. So I'm super happy with how we had those set up. You know, it sucks that they're bolted on. So the more you move them, the more you have to tighten them. But that's really, really kind of inconsequential. Like it takes a second, grab the 10 mil, tighten them up, you're done. So super, super excited about how that worked out.
Maybe we could come up with some kind of pivot for those.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That did work out very well. Also solidified this weekend. I solidified my, I'm getting a pop-up pooper. And probably a shower. Yeah. So.
Well, that can be all one in the same.
Like the,
your pop-up pooper.
Like the shower head.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, you can have mine. Mine's pretty great.
I might take you up on that.
We just don't use it.
I was going for the geyser, and then there's a company, I think it's called Flextail. They make a lot of like inflate products for hiking.
Mm-hmm.
They have one that looks really well, and it's just, I mean, it's electric pump that goes down into a bucket, and.
That's what mine is.
I remember that. But the price difference is so good. And honestly, I can heat the water up on the stove. Like, I'm trying to think of, if I get the geyser, it's a lot of extra space. I could hide it behind next to my water tank, which worked great this weekend. But I think I'm just going to go with that. It's smaller, more compact, and... We actually ran into a case this weekend where it would have been really nice. Jasper had a dirty diaper, and instead of sitting still while we were changing him, he decided to run like 20 yards and all down his leg, all over his butt. And he had a blast this weekend, but when he did that, it was like a 10-minute wiping like bath and... Then lots of hand sanitizer, and it's just, it was like, you know what? We need the shower. So.
Yeah, I got mine for our first trip, because after like 3 days, you just kind of want to rinse off a little bit. Like, I'm not talking a full-blown shower, but like, I got to clean my junk every day, and I can only clean it 4 days with a wash or a baby wipe before it's like, all right.
Yeah, I mean... I will say that I was using Dude wipes, and those types, like Duke makes them. They're like large paper, wetted paper towels.
Yeah.
And those work pretty well to keep you in a base clean, but they don't refresh you, and that doesn't do much for your hair.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, my...
Dude wipes are okay. But honestly, price to usage wise, baby wipes just blow.
I mean,
it out
you could
water.
Buy 100 baby wipes for a couple bucks. I mean,
we used to when I was in the field, because I used to when I was in the Army, We were in the field at least 1 week every month. And literally, I would go buy like the big bulk baby wipe with like 1,500 wipes in it from like Sam's Club or something or Costco. And I just put it in my closet and grab 100 for every field exercise.
I mean, it's...
It just... And it'd be like 20 bucks. Like, it was cheap.
Super cheap. That's a good way to... That's a good way to go around all the dude wipe thing is to do that. And, you know, if you are worried about space and stuff, just take like 100 or 50 out of the pack, throw it in a small Ziploc baggie and throw it in your backpack or whatever. But
you know,
they're not that big.
I, like I said, I used to take it to the field when all I could take was a rucksack.
Right.
And honestly, even civilian wise, we don't need near as much space. You know, we don't need near as much stuff. And you can fit. I mean, we do. We don't do the comfort thing as much as you do, I guess. But like me and Mark, we can fit pretty much an entire week's worth of stuff in a really small compartment.
Right.
I've got all of mine and Kaylin's clothes packed for 5 days worth, right? And they all fit inside of one of those little half pack out packs.
Right. Yeah. That man, really restricting your clothing helps a lot too. We ended up having more space on our way back because I kind of organized as I put stuff away.
Yeah.
And it's, organization's really the key to effectiveness when you're doing that stuff. A lot of people, I got a lot of compliments this weekend about how organized I was and how efficient the whole back of the FJ was. And I, you know, I was like, oh, it's kind of nice to see some appreciation for something I've worked pretty hard to do. Made a post on FJ Nation or whatever, and people were like, oh my God, how do you set up the drawers? How do you mount them? I'm like, it's such a tight fit. I don't even have to screw these things down. Like, they don't go anywhere.
No, the back of your FJ is really efficient. You have packed so much. Okay, don't take this offensively. So much shit in such a small space. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, it's, I'm excited about it, man. It's, my favorite part about this weekend was the on-demand water. Oh my gosh, that was so nice.
Yeah.
I literally just moved the faucet to where I needed it, washing hands, washing out the pan. I just pick up the faucet, put it on the pan to help clean it. Really nice.
I need to do some research, but I've been thinking about picking up a fuel tank from like not a used fuel tank, obviously, but like a new fuel tank off Marketplace or Amazon or something, mounting it under the trailer for water, like bulk water. Think about it. Let's say I fit 10 gallons in there.
Yeah, we did well this weekend. I don't know what I'm down to. I should check, but I used it pretty... I didn't use it conservatively, so I can't really say that, but I used it as much as I could, and we didn't go through any, you know, all of it, that's for sure. So I think it was a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, I'm going to do... Like I've talked about this in the past. I'm going to convert a pack out into a water storage, and then that'll be it. I'll just do that with a pump kind of like the one you've got and have like two different hose hookups for it.
I think my biggest issue was garbage storage. Like, I need to find a way to reduce the amount of garbage I put out other than burning things that shouldn't be burned in the fire. Like, obviously, I threw all the paper stuff away, but it was like...
Yeah,
I came out with one full garbage bag, and I was like, man, this is more than it should be for 3 days.
That's definitely something I've been looking at a lot lately. One of the things that I found is we picked up these reusable Ziploc bags off Amazon. I think it was $20 for like 50 of them, and that cuts down on my waste so much. Yeah. That's the big one.
Another one for me, when I'm buying, I try to primarily focus on buying boxed items. So, like, we bought Pop-Tarts, Rice Krispies for snacks, any kind of like boxed item, non-plastic, so that we could use it for fire starter and stuff, the box. And then we would just condense it into one box, throw all the snacks into one.
And what I would do there is I would take those Pop-Tarts because I like to have less trash in the field. I don't mind the trash generation. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to be, like, conservative on that. But I don't like to deal with it when I'm out there. So I would almost take those Pop-Tarts out, put them in a reusable zip bag, and then put them back in the
box.
That would
not be bad. The wrappers weren't, they didn't take up a lot of space, so that wasn't like a huge thing, but yeah, it's a good idea. I think mainly it was like cans. Like, we weren't crushing cans. We probably should have crushed some cans. Diapers. You can't do much about diapers out there. I mean,
yeah, you can't get away from diapers.
I mean, can't throw them in a fire. You can't throw them in the woods. You got to pack them out. Same thing with our refuse. Unless you were digging holes and
which
we could.
I've kind of helped with that one there. Don't dig holes. Burying your poop is not
good. It's not good for the environment.
Let's say 50 people park in the same spot. Those 50 people all poop in the same spot. That's going to poison the earth. That's just how it works. But what you could do is, I should have sent some of that poo powder with you. I kind of feel bad.
Well,
now.
So what I ended up doing is we went to Walmart and we got the cheapest all natural biodegradable kitty litter. And we used kitty litter, and then that absorbed most of the refuse, and then we put them in scented trash bags, and couldn't smell it.
Yep.
I mean, so we had regular plastic, like office trash bags for the toilet with the kitty litter in there. I would just grab a handful, throw it in there, and then I would bag those up nice and tight and throw them into a Febreze bag or whatever. And we didn't smell any of it. It's just still too close to camp.
I would double up trash bags and then use my poop powder, which the poop powder neutralizes as best as it can the smell of the poop and then turns the liquid into a gel. Yeah. That way it's not leaking. So I would do that, and you could get two-ish bathroom times out of one bag that way, 2 to 3. Luckily we were all guys, so no one was pissing. Yeah. You know, they were all shitting in there, not pissing in there.
Here's a crazy but useful for me tip. Take Imodium the day before or right before you start on your trip. I kid you not, we had Arby's on the way up, and I pooped probably 4 times within 5 hours after getting to camp.
Wow.
I took the Imodium between like third and fourth poop and didn't poop the rest of the weekend. And it wasn't uncomfortable either. Like, it just stopped it, whatever was going on. And then on Sunday, I felt that urge, and we ended up stopping at a rest stop, and you know, yeah, it's an extra 20 minutes because it takes a second for everything to start moving again. But, that's been the problem solver to my issues. Cause I have some like anxious bowel issues and stuff like that. So it's like that has been a lifesaver for me, taking the Imodium, and I'm going to start doing that when I go to leave.
I will have to get that. Do you have any right now? I will have to get some before we leave.
I could drop some off anytime. I'm pretty free this week.
Hell yeah. Yeah. It's like you have no job.
Man, I really enjoy this, but it's like an anxious feeling too. But I really enjoy not having it.
You know, when I quit my job at FRS, kind of for the same reason, they were upset with me. Okay, so we had a plant manager. No, not plant manager. I was an inventory control manager. Then we had a floor manager. And, you know, every department has their own manager, right? And the floor manager was getting really close with the plant manager, and she was mad because I wasn't letting her cheat on inventory to get ahead, because if she did that, it went against all of our customers. Yep. So she was trying to push me out and get me fired, and she was everything she could find, yep, dude. And I just snapped and quit.
Yep, very similar. It's funny that you even mentioned the inventory, because there were price changes. When we do price changes, it's also an inventory count. same on the same pad. Right. So we changed the price.
Mm-hmm.
We also count the inventory. And he was telling people to just skip it as long as there was something on the peg to skip it, which fucks our inventory over because it doesn't,
right.
it doesn't tell us. Well, one, when the district manager goes back to see when we changed our inventory, knowing that the price changes were already done and sees that it hasn't been until from October, that's an issue. And that falls back on me because right. I enter most of them in. Two, it right. screws up our inventory. Ordering gets delayed and it's, okay, not done by the book, so not done right. And he was telling all the people this. I reported it because I'm like, it's going to screw us over bonus-wise. It's going to screw us over in all sorts of ways down the road. And it's been kind of ever since then, he's been gunning for me. It's like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about inventory. People just get so freaking butthurt about it. And the big thing, the thing that like set the floor manager, I keep trying to say her name, but I'm not going to air dirty laundry, though she might be dead, so maybe it's not a big deal. Or he. I never was convinced that she was a woman.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But I found somewhere close to like $4,200, maybe $5,000 worth of scrap on the back dock hidden for someone to pick up later. Like, big amounts of money of stuff that was just getting pushed out the back door into other people's mm-hmm. trucks to get scrapped.
Yeah, so I caught him giving out tools, not renting them, not loaning them, just giving them out to customers and like, bring them back whenever you're done with them. And it's like, you can't do that. We don't rent tools. We don't loan them out. There's no safety net for doing that kind of thing. But he was very choosy. He picked out old people and then discriminated against other people that he didn't, you know, because of whatever reason.
Or me.
Exactly.
Because he would let me do that.
And that's all against the rules. The Gilroy's does not let anybody do that. And it's like, okay, so how long am I going to just sit by and let him abuse the system?
Right.
And it's like, I aired it all out. And it wasn't enough for them to hire someone with 20 years in that store. And I said, well, if that's how you guys operate, then cool. Because there's...
The thing was, you went there just as Gilroy's bought the place because it used to be True Value.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they I don't know if they fired or they've quit, but there's been some really good employees there that have left, and it's like, man, and we get stuck with, not all the employees you've got now are bad. There's quite a few good ones, but
yeah, it's just
some of them, man.
Yeah. Well, and when you have a small town job that wants to pay minimum wage and give you minimum hours, you don't attract people who are looking to make careers. You don't attract
right.
people who want to be able to pay their house bill. It's minors and retirement, and then the people in between
yep.
that are collecting food stamps that need to be under a certain amount of hours so that they could continue to mooch. So mm-hmm.
And that is the issue that we're having here at the farm, because the owner is not willing to pay what the job is worth.
Right.
And because of that, I'm only getting, I mean, this isn't political or anything, it's just the fact of the mm-hmm. matter. I'm just getting illegal migrants or high schoolers. That's it.
That's all you will get.
Which, exactly.
And fortunately, they don't care as long as the job gets done by someone, and you are that someone. So.
And it sucks because I'm watching, you know, in my situation, I'm watching things go down a path that I'm not okay with, but I can't afford to lose my house. And to get a new job, I lose my house.
Right. No, and I was watching the store go down that path. It's like, yeah, in some ways we're improving. But in other ways we're not. And it's like, how long do you let, weird thing to say, but how long do you let your honor and your integrity
right.
Fall behind in a place where you usually hold that stuff pretty high in regard and people know you for it? It's like, I kind of had to make that decision, and I don't regret it. I mean, it is what it is.
Yep.
We can afford it for a while. We're not going to die, but I don't plan on it. I mean,
oh, we totally, We would totally die if I left because we'd lose our only source of income and our only house.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen jobs that I was scrolling by that are pretty high paying. And I was like, dude, Alex would be good at this. But then I'm like, eh, he can't.
But I can't. And the thing is, I don't make no money, right? Like, I make well over the poverty line just because my house is free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, my house alone, like, for people that don't know, I have a pretty good-sized house with a lot of land that I can do whatever I want with. And because of that, if I were to rent this house, I'd be looking at $6,000 to $7,000 a month.
Yeah. I mean, I was making 39, which is honestly not that great for my position. And maybe okay for the area, but I mean, the 11-hour shifts, it wasn't worth it. I mean, especially being salaried, not hourly. So,
yeah. I didn't realize you were salary over there.
Yeah, locked salary. So it's not like you can come and go when you want. It's.
Do I hear a kitten or is that your kid?
Oddly enough, one of the farm cats had kittens underneath the house. Yeah. Had kittens underneath the house and we can't get back there. So
it is a kitten.
Under my floor. Yeah.
Are they cute at least?
I can't get back there. I don't know.
Oh, you haven't even seen them.
So.
Well, hopefully they're cute. Maybe I'll, no, I don't need another cat.
Oh, if you want a cat, there's 3 really cute ones at the Kalkaska Arby's and they're outside cats, but all the customers feed them. So they look like they're house cats. And they're really cute.
I don't need a cat.
Also,
I've got 2 of them and they hate each
other.
Do you
want a third dog?
Listen, I've had so many people ask me if I want a third dog in the last week. I cannot afford another dog unless it's an Irish Setter. That is the one.
Lilo is close.
Then I'll.
Ed and Rebecca are getting rid of Lilo.
I know they are. We talked about it.
They talked to us about it too. But with Jasper, the problems that they're having with Kai would just be worse with Jasper. So it's not going to work out for us.
And, you know, I've already got a stud dog who likes to do the herding thing. And I've got a kid that gets nipped almost daily.
Yeah, you don't need it.
So I don't need to add another
one. And then have that times 2 when you add the 2 of the dogs together.
And, well, for me, 3. I've got 2 that do it already. Add a third one.
Not enough space for that. I mean, Lilo's a great dog. No. It just needs a lot of training to get to where it's not a problem anymore.
And that's just... Aussies are like that, and he's a mini Aussie on top of that.
They're like that.
Mini Aussies are almost impossible to deal with kids. They're great dogs, but that's just how they... It's like saying, I'm going to get a Husky as a family dog. Huskies are terrible family dogs.
The herding instinct alone is so strong in a lot of these that it makes it really hard for young kids, especially when you're living in a rural area. It's just hard. And then trying to keep them close to you in a rural area. I mean, they're wanderers.
Yeah. Herding dogs usually aren't too bad. Huskies are. Huskies like to wander. But herding dogs, I mean, they're not too bad. Ours do pretty okay. Every once in a while, Mercy will get adventurous, but she never actually goes anywhere. She just goes in the woods and won't come back.
Yeah.
She's maybe 500 feet from us. But we can't see her, and she's not coming.
Yeah, Akilah's like that. He'll be gone for like a day chasing down a deer trail and scent. And then we'll find him like on the porch 2 days later. Like, he's an all white, like bright white husky mix. And we'll find
him.
Yeah, we'll find him 2 days later or something on our porch covered in mud. And like, you could tell he rolled into dead carcass. And it's like, we're not doing this. He's just looking at you with his baby seal face. Just, hey, I know I fucked up, but I'm back.
He's just an absolutely beautiful dog, though.
He would be so great for taking on camping if he wasn't so territory-driven, like for marking. He will mark every 3 seconds on everything that doesn't move.
Wrangler definitely does the mark, but we've... We've got it to a point where he mostly just does it away from where we're camping. Every once in a while, I'll catch him doing something stupid, but he's never pissed on anyone's tent, so.
Oh, Kilo, he used to be an inside dog, but it got to the point where he was, like, marking the corner of a couch. Then he would be...
That's what Wrangler does right now.
Then he would mark the wall, then he would mark the floor, and it was, like, anywhere that a scent that he didn't like. It was like, dude, we can't do this. Our house smells like piss constantly, and it was like we had to change that, so.
Is he still intact?
Yeah.
Yeah, so is Wrangler. Yeah, okay, that's just how it
works.
Yeah,
and it was like by the time that Sienna came back, he was kind of getting too old to snip.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, it's already been ingrained. And right now, honestly, he's much happier being an outside dog. He didn't like being inside anyway. Huskies.
That's a husky.
With a small percentage of wolf in them, too. They just don't.
Hey, don't. Now I got to edit that out. Don't say that on the podcast.
It's a legal amount.
No, there's no legal amount in the state of Michigan.
The legal amount is legal. But they did the DNA test on him. They got him from a farm for like $500 because he was kind of runty. And
yeah, I had a friend who had an Akita wolf hybrid. He was like 60% wolf or something. Dude stood, like when he stood on his back legs, my buddy was 6'7", and this dog was taller than him when he stood on his back legs.
Akitas are cool.
Massive fucking
Akitas
dog.
Akitas are cool on their own. I think our sister-in-law has a full Akita named Oso, and that thing, two pit bulls ran into their backyard, and the kid was out. She's like 4. Mm-hmm. That Akita, even with the owners like shocking him, trying to get him to come back, that Akita went and fucked those pit bulls up, both of them at the same time. Took them down. And this thing's big. Like, I didn't think it would get this big, but
Akitas are big dogs.
Yeah, and those pit bulls, they weren't pit bulls. They were, pits. I don't know, like red nose, blue nose, kind of. I was thinking I was saying bulldogs for a second, but. Yeah, he fucked those pit bulls up, and the brother-in-law had to go and, like, rip him off of them. But they came to the yard, and they threatened at his kid, and they were both unleashed, and it was like, at that point, you put anyone in danger like that, that dog did its job. I mean, it protected the family. The kid was fine. Nothing happened to her, so you can't take that chance. You can't go, maybe they're friendly. You don't have that time window.
Right. Yeah, I had a healer pit bull mix when I was in Arizona. His name was I don't know how the Mexicans say it, but it was Spanish for some dirty word. I don't even know. And that's why I ended up adopting him. Was he was out on a walk with his previous family, and they had a pit bull and something else come at them, and he just tore into them. He ended up killing the pit bull, but they ended up putting like $8,000 to keep this dog alive, like in surgeries and stuff. Yeah. But he completely demolished, I think it was a pit bull and a German Shepherd, like just destroyed them.
I mean, it sucks, but at the same time, they're doing their job. Pit bulls, don't get me wrong. I mean, of course, now we're talking about how aggressive pit bulls are. When you have the pit bull, it's great. When you're not the owner of the pit bull, I've had probably 4 pit bulls. Friends have had pit bulls. If you're the family of that dog, they're babies. You could do anything to them, and they're typically fine. And
usually,
yeah. I mean, there's always outliers. There's always ones that don't.
The big problem with pit bulls, and it seems to be mostly a pit bull problem. I've had a lot of experience with pit bulls. I've had a few. My cousins have had them. Like, all my friends have had pit bulls. Obviously, they're one of the most common dogs in America. But the problem is that pit bulls don't think like a normal dog. And kind of not in the way that a healer does, because a healer doesn't think like a normal dog, completely differently.
Right.
with a pit bull, they retain PTSD so much. Yeah. So let's say you smack the dog one time for whatever reason. It could wake up in the middle of the night, remember that, and attack you. Like, it's not uncommon for a pit bull to just fucking lose their mind.
Yeah, I mean...
Which sucks, because they could be the world's greatest dog, and then they just snap overnight.
Yeah, I've never had that personal experience, but I've heard that that can happen where they just snap. It's... To me, it's just like there's always that outlier. It's like saying all cops are bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously some bad cops, but... Generally speaking, they all kind of try to do something, but
no,
you know,
I agree. I'm just saying, pit bulls seem to be the one where that happens the most with, and it sucks because they're great dogs. Unless that happens, and you're not going to know if it's going to happen unless it does.
Yeah, we had a blue nose named Runt that would protect the shit out of you and was protective against literally anybody else who wasn't family. Like, you would have to hold her back, so she was that aggressive towards anybody who wasn't family, but to her own family, she was a mom. Like, she was a mama dog. She had pups.
Yeah.
And you could pick her pups up. I mean, you could flip them around, do this and that. You could lay on her. She would be completely fine with you. It was just when there is a stranger in the house, the stranger was backed into the corner. Runt was just sitting there fucking staring. I mean, she did not fuck around.
Right. My childhood dog was a boxer lab mix, and she lived to be, I think she was 14 when we had her put down. Greatest dog ever, dude. Absolutely best dog. So like I said, pits can be the best dogs ever.
You know, I've had this incident more often in my experience with German Shepherds than I have with...
Oh, they're the same thing.
We had a German Shepherd when I was living with my buddy. My superintendent of my school just so happened to be my buddy's grandfather's friend. He came by, they were gonna go play golf. Our dog ran through the screen and ripped the back pants, like the shorts, right off the dude's ass. That was number three. That was the third time. Never family. It was someone, you know, to him he was protecting, and unfortunately we had to put him down. But he was a great dog to the family, but to anybody who was passing by, unfortunately, he didn't really give them the time of day. And in a different world, in a different circumstance, that's exactly what you want, but not in today's world. You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you met Mercy, right? Sweetest dog in the world. Couldn't hurt a fly. When I first got her, if she even heard someone speaking Spanish, a switch would flip and she'd become the most aggressive dog you've ever met.
Yeah. Yeah, the PTSD is real.
She tore probably three or four. Like, when we moved to Big Rapids, we had a guy working on the roof, and I think he was Mexican. He might have been Venezuelan, though. I can't remember. But every time she saw him, like, she would go through our screens to get to this dude. She had him cornered. Like, she took his ladder down after he got on the roof one time. And in hindsight, the dude was a piece of shit anyway. But
they can also sense that,
too. It wasn't cool. Yeah, but for her, dude, it was Spanish. Yeah. She was even fine with Mexicans until if they didn't have an accent, fine. But if they had an accent or spoke Spanish, she would lose it.
Yeah, PTSD.
And it took probably 3 years to train that out of her.
Yeah. How was I going to say? Oh, Akila. When I first met Akila, he was probably the most... I don't know how to say this, non-dominant, bitchiest dog I've ever met. It was like, if you yelled at him, it was like he was on his back. And he did not get beat. Like, we didn't beat him. And before, he wasn't beat either. And he was just very non-dominant. Other dogs would come by and he would get his shit wrecked. For his size, I was like, dude, you could do so much. I mean, You're bigger than they are. Like, what is going on? And after we had Jasper, he leveled up. It was like the day that we came home with Jasper, we put Jasper near him and he licked Jasper. You could tell that there was that bond. Like, he definitely knew that Jasper was family. And he would sit at our door and wait for Jasper. We'd come outside, boom, he's back. And it was like, and now any animal like possum, raccoon, he used to just let him hang out or bark at him. Now he fucking rips into animals that come into our property. Like, I wasn't expecting it. Like, sometimes that protection instinct gets triggered. And when we had him, I mean, Jasper could kick this dog in the nuts and he wouldn't do anything. Like, I have utmost confidence. The only thing he might do is like jump on Jasper, because he's so excited to see him and lick him to death and maybe scratch him because of that. But like, otherwise, I mean, crazy how protective this dog is. And then when Jasper goes to our neighbors, which is Sienna's grandparents' house, he'll howl. He only howls when the ambulances go by, but he'll howl if Jasper goes somewhere he can't get to with his electric fence. So he'll sit at the end of his electric fence and howl till we come back, no matter what we do. It's crazy.
It is.
Hey.
So real quick, because I got to get off soon to go do loadout, because it's one of them nights. I'm sending you a link to another set of wheels I just found. Tell me what you think. I think they're sick. You're muted, by the way, buddy, Opal. Maybe it is the end. Kevin got
how long have I been muted?
There he is. You said yeah, and then it was muted.
Did I say anything about the dog and the baby?
Yeah, you did.
Weird. I didn't press mute. Well, I don't know what I said and did say, so we're going to move on. I got the drive folder, but I didn't... let's see this. No, that takes me back to the Falcons.
I sent it directly to Huckleberry on Matrix.
That would be why. Let me check here. Bing, bang, boom.
I've never heard of the company. It's Lock Off Road, whoever that is, but they look sick.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Yeah, they're fucking sick. And they seem, from what I'm seeing right now, they seem to have good reviews. Whoa. And for $1,200?
Interesting.
Yeah, that ain't bad at all.
Well, shit. Something to think about while you're at Leatherwood, I guess. See if anybody else is running them or knows them.
Yeah, because when we get back, I got to buy wheels and tires pretty quick.
Heck yeah. Well,
it's going to be, I'll probably order wheels and then pay them off, and then order tires and then pay them off, and then order the, beadlocks and then pay them off and then have them assembled.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
But,
well, shit. All right. Look at that. We got a hour and 13 minutes out of that.
Out of a completely bonus, unexpected episode. So listeners, enjoy that.
Yeah. And on that note, we'll see you after they get back from Leatherwood, probably.
I think we're still going to record one tomorrow.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah, because we still have to do our wrap and stuff. So this is kind of just a bonus episode, I guess.
Bing, bang, boom. You're welcome.
Can't complain.
Yeah, can't complain.
But, all right.
Talk to you later.
Catch you guys later.